Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations standpoint.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk Black Sport on Triple A Murray Country. I'm Dr. Lee Shepherd, a Dirribal, Mularitchi, Jabbagoya, Yurukandji woman and anthropologist with expertise in sport for development programs in Australia. Before we start today's yarn, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land upon which we are broadcasting, the Turrbal and Yagara peoples, and pay my respects to the Elders past, present and future. Today, our special guest is Kelly McKellar Nathan, softball extraordinaire. good morning, Kelly. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Lee. I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
No, it's wonderful that you've taken time out of your busy day to come and yarn with us, especially about your amazing career, which I see spans about 36 years.
Yeah, close to that, yep.
Yeah, started out in 1989.
Yes.
Yeah.
As a, I think, under 19.
Yeah.
Yes, I've always had a love for sport, but softball was the team sport, environment was kind of the, what grabbed my heart.
Oh, okay. Who's your mob and where you come from?
I'm a proud Aboriginal woman and descend from the Kunya and Kuma people of southwest Queensland. My strong cultural identity is all thanks to the loving influence of my grandmother and my father.
You want to give it to your grandmother still with us?
Both of them have passed now, they're always with me, though. Oh. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
So getting back to your participation in softball, when did the game of softball, you know, in your mind become more than a game and a passion?
Let me start from the beginning. McKellars were one of few Aboriginal families in the Winnamanley area.
Yep.
And my dad had formed a lifelong friendship with Uncle Doc Close, Lionel Close. And that lifelong friendship has carried on through their children. And it was his wife, who also is no longer with us, introduced me to softball, which was my first ever introduction to Mariners Softball Club, which is predominantly Aboriginal.
Okay, that's out at Wynnum?
Most of us are based in Wynnum, but we actually play in the Redlands Softball District Association. Okay. Yeah. Introducing me to Mariners, my first ever club, and Redlands as an association.
And then when was your first, since 1989, when was your first international debut?
So as I mentioned, my first international debut would have been international would have been 92, I think it was, for the Australian Open women's team. We had travelled to China for the Challenger Cup. And at that time of the tournament, Australia was probably ranked about fourth. I know we weren't in the top three medal spots.
Okay.
But we went on to actually take home the silver medal from that tournament. So it was the best world ranking Australia softball had achieved at that time.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And how many other Indigenous players were in the team?
I was the only one at that
time. You're
the only
one. Yeah. That's a really big achievement. So the other thing too, I was reading your bio and I was really liked your philosophy, which what is that? that you can't dwell on the bad things that happened. Rather, you have to go out and make things happen for yourself. Where did that philosophy come from?
I think that was more inspiration from my dad in particular. He was a Aboriginal kid from Cunnamulla, ended up going to boarding school at Nudgee. And I know for a fact that he experienced some severe social injustices through his education, but also through his employment. And he just raised us to be fiercely independent and, yeah, made sure that we never dwelled on anything that didn't go our way.
Yeah, because I think in your bio you mentioned that you're in the under 19 in 1991 and, again, the silver medal team, winning Australian team in 92. But then shortly after you were dropped from the Queensland senior women's team and you ended up in a totally different country.
Yeah, it was a bizarre year for me. So in that same year I went from an Australian representative to not even being selected in the Open women's team. Within months.
I
still to this day I didn't seek feedback around why I wasn't selected. But when I did compete at the World Championships in the under 19 Australian team, there were a number of university scouts there and had been offered at the time. And I just decided I'll take up this opportunity. I wasn't too sure about it, but I didn't want to be one of these players that got lost in the softball scene where you're good enough to play Queensland or representative ball. But somehow you get lost in the system. So I was on a plane headed for Oklahoma City.
Wow. That would have been a big culture shock.
Yeah, it was. It definitely was. It was just as much culture shock as visiting China.
Yeah.
I remember, I think you're so excited by the opportunity, but you don't realise what you're leaving behind, your family, your friends, the life you know, until I actually got in the dorm. And I do remember calling my mum saying, please bring me home.
How long did that take?
Well, she made me at least see out the season. She had said to me, you made a commitment to this team. You need to see it through. And it was probably the best, advice or order that she's given me, because it ended up being one of my greatest experiences in softball.
Because how long were you there for? Because you were there on a scholarship, weren't you?
Yeah, so basically university paid for my education and I played softball for the university.
Nice, yeah.
About 4 years all up.
Wow, yeah, because let me see. So that was 94, so... You came back to Australia when? In 1996, I gather.
Would have been the end, right on 95, 96. The great thing about being in playing college softball was when, here we don't have a lot of games. So before I went to the US or to Oklahoma City, we might have played 2, maybe 3 games a week. In the college system, we would easily play 10 games a week.
Yeah, yeah.
So my skill level had just increased tenfold.
Yeah.
Made me more confident as a player.
Yeah.
And was able to kind of fine-tune my skills and become a bit more of a power hitter at that time.
Yeah. Because you came back as a switch hitter. What's that?
Yes, so a switch hitter is someone that can bat. So I'm naturally right-handed, but because of my speed, they started to develop my left-handed hitting. So usually if you've got a power hitter and can switch hit, they introduce what they call a short game. So it's kind of bunting, slaps, running bunts. And just try to maximise your speed because you're one step closer to the base when you're in the left-handed box.
Yeah. Did not think of that. I've never thought of switching left and right. I'm a right-handed one player as well. So let's, going through your achievements, like in 1992 that we've already spoken about, silver medal. And you were also Queensland Women's Representative for National Champions here?
Yes. So the first year I made Queensland, it was, I represent Redlands Softball Association. Mm-hmm. At the time I was, all the other players in the Queensland team were Brisbane players. Mm-hmm. I was the only Redlands player to be selected in that that Queensland team, but we went on to win nationals that year. Mm-hmm. So that was my debut year in the Queensland team. Going on to represent Australia was a great first year for me in the Open Women's Division. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that would have been actually.
Yeah.
Exciting time.
It was.
Start of career. And then it looks like 1994, ICU representative.
Yep. So that was, so 93 to 95, 96 was my time in the US.
Yeah.
My first year college, we made it to the national championships but lost the final. Their system, their kind of final system is a little bit different to ours. So at the time it was the best of three.
Oh, okay.
A bit similar to what the NCAA College World Series play at the moment. Mm. But the second year we went back to nationals, and that was the first year that I'd won a national championship with Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
It was the first time for that college to win a national championship. Mm. 20 years later, they had made the decision to induct that team into the Oklahoma City University Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And, I'm very appreciative of my college coach. He was instrumental in developing me. He really understood me as a player, understood my challenges, and my strengths, but created a safe place for me to be able to thrive and grow. I mean, it's a little bit different for international players in the college system because so understanding that as a coach was a positive influence. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. No, because that's you're thinking that's back in early 90s. Yeah, that type of thing.
There's quite a few Australian players now that enter into the college system, but at the time that I went, there might have been 10 of us that played in that college system.
Just softball or other?
Mostly softball. I know the college that I was at, there were, you know, basketball players from New Zealand. Mm-hmm. There were some Australians that were in the tennis program. Okay. So my university had a range of international athletes from all different kinds of sports.
Okay, from all over the world.
Yeah, yeah.
All on scholarships? Or?
Most of them would have been on scholarship,
And yeah, so first off, how do you apply for these scholarships? How did you apply for the scholarship?
I was fortunate because I had been at the Junior World Championships, so that's where I first seen. And there were, like I said, only a handful of players. So it was a little bit of word of mouth and my teammates kind of vouching for me as a player. Mm. But I know there's a lot of organisations set up now that can negotiate those agreements or negotiate those scholarships for families and athletes now.
That's really good, actually, because, I was talking with someone who... Aurelia, she's a rock climber, and how she gets her scholarship. So, yeah, I think it's really mother.
Oh, negotiates
it for her. But, yeah, no, I was just thinking, and when you're doing the scholarship, what's involved in that scholarship?
It's pretty full on. In the American system, you have to achieve a pass in every single class. So if you didn't get... the GPA is what they call, grade point average, you would not play softball. So there is a close kind of monitoring of your education and how you're achieving in each of the subjects to be able to play in the softball program.
Yeah, and I suppose you would have had tutors?
We did have access to them, but it was a bit of a challenge because... You know, we were playing like 10 games a week, so times that we would need tutors were different and a bit weird in terms of normal school college. But, you know, my dad was a primary school teacher, so he'd always instilled that education was critical for us. And that softball, you know, wouldn't be able to provide a life for me in terms of an income.
Yeah.
And it could easily disappear with an injury. So the time that I'd put into softball was balanced with the time that I put into my education. So it was an easy transition for me.
Yeah, because how many siblings do you have?
I've got an older brother and a younger sister.
You want to give them a shout out?
Yes, my big brother Richard.
Yeah.
And my younger sister is Tracy.
Hey, Richard and Tracy. Talking to your sister here.
I have to do a shout out to my niece and nephew as well. Terrell and Chloe. They're my biggest fans, little darlings.
I mean, how old are they?
They're 24 and 20 or turning 20, but they're still my little baby niece and nephew in my eyes.
They always stay little babies.
Yeah.
So getting back to your timeline, in 1997 you were back in Australia?
Yes.
Yep. What was it?
And working my way back onto the Queensland and Australian team,
Yeah. So that was, I think you got a Queensland Sports Women of the Year award.
It was a nominee, yeah. Yeah, 97 and 98 were quite successful years for me.
I think you got the gold medal or the Super Bowl tournament.
Yes. So that was at that time, the second time only that Australia had beaten US on their home soil.
Yeah.
The first obviously was Atlanta Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the famous home run from Joe Brown. But that game was definitely one of my highlights. We're in Atlanta, Georgia, Atlanta, so they were just stunned. And I think I still have it, the article at home that, you know, we obviously got more coverage in the US than what we did at home. Softball's not a high-profile sport here, but, it was definitely a highlight to bring home the gold medal from that tournament.
Yeah, no, that would have been like an amazing experience just to get a gold medal at that, you know, level.
Yes, yep. I think the final score was 1-0, but, I mean, the game could have went either way or any way. But we just dug our heels in and kept our cool and ended up bringing home the gold.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that one.
Thank you.
You got quite a few congratulations coming through looking at your career. And then you also got the Qantas Tri-Nations tournament.
Yeah, so this probably would have been my first tournament that I was switch hitting full time. And my first international award as well. Mm-hmm. So to receive the batting award was an honour to do that for that tournament. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool because I don't think I'd ever, if I tried left hand batting, I wouldn't even be hitting nothing.
I think it's a little bit easier than throwing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just there's a couple of other Aboriginal women that have played at that elite level. Janice Blackman is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing switch hitter. Probably looks more natural left-handed now than
right.
Yeah.
True. How long did it take you to learn that? Actually,
I mean, it was a skill that I kind of crafted for over a number of years.
Mm.
But picked up relatively easy, and it's just the placement of the ball that you really need to find the skill and the craft to do that.
Mm. Yeah, you have to have.
So you can always improve every training session, every game.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't even say at the time that I was the expert that I was still working on being better than the last time.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. And then we now move to 98, where you were the Queensland women's rep for the national champions.
Yes. So I think Queensland won that year. Yeah.
Cool.
And I played an awesome tournament. Mind you, my preparation before the game was, I loved training. Training was, loved training, not more than the game, but yeah, I got a lot of joy out of training just as much as I did at in the game. And I find, and this is kind of a lesson that I teach at clinics that I'm assisting with, that, you know, what you put into training is basically what you'll get out of the game.
Yeah.
So my preparation prior to that nationals was every, you know, every Friday morning I was in the batting cages. And, you know, it paid off. Queensland ended up winning national championships. And I picked up the most valuable award for that year.
Yeah.
Which is another great honour.
I know. It's incredible. And then you represented Australia for the world championship.
Yes, in Japan.
Japan. Wow.
Yeah, softball's given me has given me so much, in particular travelling overseas where I've been able to experience the cultures firsthand. But it's also given me an opportunity to share a lot about my people and Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander in general.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that time there wasn't a lot that internationally they knew about us as a First Nations Australians.
Yeah, I get that because, they wouldn't.
Yeah.
But, so you got that in 1998 and then in 2000 you were the Olympic softball squad member.
Yes.
At the Olympic Games.
So I missed out on Sydney Olympics.
Oh, did you?
Which is just, it's like a death. It's like a grieving process that you go through because you're training like 25, 30 hours a week, putting everything into it. I'd done a lot of travel within Queensland and across Australia to promote softball, particularly to remote Aboriginal communities. So when I missed out, we were informed via a letter. I still remember that day, the time the letter that came. Only had to read the first five letters. First five letters? First five words.
Yeah, I only wanted to see the first five letters.
Yeah. I still don't know what that letter says, but I just felt like I let my family, my people down, and it did take me, you know, at least 18 months to kind of recover from that.
Yeah, it would have been a huge letdown.
Yeah,
got angry. You would have been training for that.
Yeah.
Constantly.
And, I mean, even your work career kind of takes a bit of a sideline because most of your hours are dedicated to training and competition.
Yeah, because I was actually going to ask you because what were you doing outside of training and sport? Were you working or...?
I was working. I tried as best I could to work full time. That was challenging. You know, like we'd be, a typical day would be in the gym 5-6 o'clock for an hour and a half, shower, straight to work, finish at 5. So we'd have, you know, early starts and late nights really with training. So. Yeah. And by the weekend, Sunday was kind of our day off. So, it was a challenge, but I loved every minute of it, though. Yeah.
So, and you said you were in full time work at the time.
Yes.
So everything sports sort of fitted in around it.
Yeah. Well, it had to because there were no kind of the jobs that I had at the time didn't really have a HR policy that supported someone training at that level. So I didn't really have leave owing to me or was entitled to leave. I mean, I did have leave, but not the kind that you need at that elite level.
Yeah.
But as we moved closer to the Olympics, I was fortunate to have a job through the Olympic Job Opportunity Program, which allowed that balance at the time.
Okay. Yeah. Well, can you describe that Olympic job work?
Olympic Job Opportunity Program?
Yeah.
Basically, it's a program for elite athletes, mostly aspiring Olympians or Olympians, where they match their skills with an employer, and that employer supports that athlete to achieve their sporting goals.
Okay, I see.
So the kind of leave entitlements and the work that you do may be unique or flexible to be able to fit in with your sporting, with your training and competition schedule. Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible. Yeah, well, that's actually good that they actually had a program running like that. When did that start, sorry, again?
I know that OJOP had been around at least from 96, and I saw a couple of softballers were offered employment through that program. I'm not sure if it still, I would expect it does. But it has been around for a number of years.
Yeah. And I was going to ask when it comes to you actually were on another scholarship here for through the AIS.
Yes.
What does that stand for?
So with softball, because we were an Olympic sport, you do receive federal funding. Depending on your world ranking. So if you're currently a silver medalist, there'll be funding that matches that, which allows athletes at that level to have some kind of income coming in to allow them to train at that high level.
Yeah.
When we were at the peak of kind of preparing for Sydney, I think I might have spent all up maybe 3 months overseas, but they were literally like, you know, one country for 2 weeks, home for a week, and then another country. So, you know, it might not be 3 months at a time. It was kind of over a period of time.
Yeah.
And with our seasons being different to US and European summertime, most of the time tournaments would be held now, basically,
No, because I was just thinking, obviously, there's the Olympics coming up. So, you know, are you involved in that in any way?
I am. I'm currently a board member on Softball Australia.
Okay,
And so I'm very excited to be a part or be a member of a national sporting body, particularly for softball, because that's where my sport, that's my passion. But leading up to LA Olympics and then Brisbane 2032, but also, I mean, our world ranking is not the greatest at the moment, so we've got a lot of work to do in terms of our women's program. But I feel like if we can focus our time and energy around building our participation base and identifying those future athletes, we can easily increase that world ranking.
Yeah, because are there any on your, like, athletes at the moment that you're thinking is Olympic material?
There are. I mean, my eyes more around looking for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women.
In our community. From our community.
And Queensland Softball have what they call a Murray Women's Softball Tournament. Yeah. We host it once a year.
Yeah.
And our youngest player can be 15 years, so we only just held the tournament in June in Logan. But walking around those fields, like, it's deadly seeing beautiful black women everywhere, and the community spirit The feeling in that tournament is very different to any other tournament that I've been involved with. But there are definitely some talented women from our community that could easily, just given the opportunity and the confidence. I don't think...
Yeah.
I think they feel... Well, I shouldn't speak on their behalf, but softball's such a great social game.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and I'm just not sure if they're aware of what their skill level is, how good they can be, and where it can take them.
So, if any of them, any of these deadly women are listening out there, what would your advice be to sort of start moving forward?
Age is dependent, but in any case, I would contact Queensland Softball. I'm happy to help wherever I can.
Yeah.
And I reckon through Queensland Softball they'd be able to get in touch with me because depending where they are across the state or the country, we can link them in to the local, a local club. And then the district association.
Yeah, okay. And then from there, they'd have to get into training. So they're starting out as teenagers. So if they start out as teenagers, they'd start to do training like at the level you used to do at age, hey? Or has it changed over the years?
No, it's pretty much the same. State championships are usually held at the end of the year. So we're probably a little bit too close now to certainly we can identify them now and work towards a program that just work with them individually about what their goal is. Like, do they want to make the the district or the association? From there, what's your next goal?
Okay. And I'm assuming that they have a softball association in every state.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they would. So they'd be able to go there and then sort of move forward. The Murray Carnival that you mentioned, was that just Queensland or were people coming in from interstate?
It is a Queensland tournament.
Right.
But the last 2 years we've had two well, last year we had one team. This year we had two from the Northern Territory, which was just deadly. And the player that coordinates those teams is a former Australian player as well, Vanessa Stokes. So it's a great opportunity to meet, you know, a lot of Aboriginal women that around my time and after that have been state and national representatives.
Okay, yeah, because do they have a national?
No, we're working on that.
Yeah.
The Murray Women Steering Group. We want, I mean, we're probably in our 14th year for the Murray Women's Tournament.
Yeah.
And we're, now that we've had some other teams from other states come to participate, we want to look at, one, how we can use this tournament to identify future players. And two, can we build in like a state of origin, Queensland versus New South Wales? Or I've only heard of one other state, South Australia, I think in the city of Adelaide, that do a similar kind of tournament. So and but I mean that's not to say there could be many. Like for example, I know Queensland, Mount Isa used to run an All Blacks softball. Well, all the communities from around Mount Isa would come to town to play that weekend.
Yeah.
And that would have been deadly to watch that because there would have been some raw talent.
Yeah, that would have been.
Yeah.
When was that?
I would say it's over 10, 15 years ago.
True. They're still running it?
I don't know because Mount Isa doesn't have a softball association anymore.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean to say that tournament can't go ahead.
Yeah.
But, they'd come from Doomadgee, Burketown, even Mornington Island to play in that tournament.
So it is really huge in Indigenous communities.
Yeah.
But not on the national, just the normal sporting stage?
I don't know, because I have travelled to communities in New South Wales where it's just as popular.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Yeah,
among our communities.
Yeah.
And I would think they are there, they're just not seen or promoted the way that they should be.
I suppose when you think about it, baseball is, well, in America, is a game where a lot of people go, but softball, I don't think I've ever seen one at a national level.
No, and we do have men's softball.
Yeah.
My husband is a Queensland and Australian softball player as well, originally from Mount Isa, but the men's game is just as exciting. Their speed, their power hitting. I find men's softball, fast pitch, more exciting than baseball, to be honest.
Yeah. I don't know, because I used to be a bowler.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, it's a lot of fun. I actually enjoyed softball. Yeah, so how long's your husband been playing it for?
Oh, he's only just starting to ease up now. But similar to me, he started quite young and represented Australia at juniors and then seniors as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Well, that's interesting because, at the Murray Carnival, how many would you say would have attended? Like, there would have been a lot of people from community, eh?
Yeah, we had a total of 21 teams this year, yep.
That's a lot of teams.
Yeah.
Over how many days?
Just two.
2 days?
Yeah.
That's crazy, actually. And is that a yearly thing, annual?
It is a yearly thing, yep.
Yeah, so is next year's dates set in stone?
We haven't set next year's dates as yet. We generally try to hold it kind of in that second quarter of the year.
Right, around June.
Yeah, right. Yep. We have to try and balance it with the commitments that Queensland Softball have with all their age groups, state championships and camps.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the best timing. And it's probably a little bit cooler in those times.
It is,
summertime is quite hot, but we
it
do
would have,
have
been hot if you tried to do it in our summer now.
Yeah. Well, we had 1 year in October at Caboolture and it was a scorcher. I mean, even Charleville teams from Southwest were even saying how hot it was.
Too hot. Yeah. So winter time's the better.
Is the better,
yeah. It would be actually with our weather. And to top it all off, Miss Kelly has, congratulations on this, by the way, is now a Hall of Famer inductee for Softball Queensland.
Yes.
Congrats.
Thank you.
I know. How'd it make you feel?
Speechless when they first informed me.
Yeah.
And it's just been a magical few weeks.
Yeah.
We just had the dinner on Saturday night. Mm. It's a great honour. And it's just been deadly. It's just been special.
Yeah.
I didn't think it would happen. And you don't, I've never played sport for the recognition or for any other reason.
Mm.
But it has given me so much. And probably the greatest would be the lifelong friendships that I've formed out of it.
Yeah, because you'd have them all over the world, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I still keep in touch with my college teammates when we're able to visit the US or they come to Australia. Mm. We make time for one another. Mm. A lot of my base is around the southeast corner.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I said, I've got other players, former teammates and rivalries across the country and, we always make time for one another.
Yeah, no, because I was just thinking you've been hopping in and out of home for quite a long time from Australia to overseas, playing in events or studying and stuff like that. So you would have made a lot of, connections everywhere.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate in that way. I've just recently reconnected with one of the Netherlands players that I'd met at Junior Worlds. We have kept our friendship for that long time. Wow. And so when we've been able to travel to each other's country, being able to have someone to visit, it's been extra special. Yeah,
because are you home now or are you still visiting, going to other countries?
No, home now.
Yeah. For the moment?
Yep.
How long have you been home for? When was the last time you went over? It sounds like...
I do my little, you know, annual holidays if we save money and time to be able to go overseas. It might be once a year, twice a year that we try to travel overseas. But my job, my life, everything's based here in Brisbane,
Yeah, it would be. I don't know. You don't need to answer. Do you have children? Or?
No, I don't have any children.
Okay, so you can travel when you need to. Yes. So, what's for you? What are you doing? What's for you on the horizon?
Well, I work full time for Brisbane City Council. Mm-hmm. I love my job. Yeah. I love the people I work with. I love the purpose it gives me. And I work with Brisbane's Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community, which I just love. Mm.
Yeah.
I just love my job. And main reason being because we get to work with community.
Yeah, yeah.
That's probably my main commitment. And then I have these other little softball projects that...
Yeah.
Or commitments that keep me busy outside of the 9 to 5.
Yeah, yeah. So, and like if mob want to get in contact with you or learn more, how can they contact you or where should they go to, email address, phone number?
They can call me either, probably easier through Queensland Softball. They'll be able to get a message to me.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously if it's work-based around council business, they can call the contact centre.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. No, just for softball if they wanted to. Go, okay, I need to contact you and sort of talk about my future plans and that type of thing.
Yeah.
So just through the Queensland Softball Association. All right. Look, thank you so much for coming in today, Kelly.
Thank you for having me.
It wasn't as painful.
No, it's quite relaxed.
It was a very good yarn up there. It's just amazing. You've just had such a wonderful, extraordinary career.
Thank you.
Softball and the ups and downs, and you still move forward. So, you know, and congrats again on your induction.
Thank you.
Into the Hall of Fame. Listen, you mob, I'm thanking you once again for tuning in to listen to Let's Talk Black Sport. And I'd once again like to thank Kelly for coming in and having a yarn with us about softball and her brilliant career. You can listen to us via our website AAA.org.au or community Radio Plus app. And I'd like to thank our sponsors, the Community Broadcasting Foundation and Brisbane Pride. You've been listening to AAA Murray Country.